Welcome to the Best of Women's Fiction podcast. I'm Lainey Cameron, and in this podcast, I interview authors I admire. If you enjoy the podcast, I'd love if you subscribed and gave it some stars. In this episode, I chat with Anne Garvin, whose latest novel, I Thought You Said This Would Work, shot up the Amazon charts in April when it was a first reads pick and has already reached number one in so many categories, including humorous women's fiction. I can tell you from my own review that this is a road trip book that will make you laugh, cry, and then laugh again. I am here with one of my favorite authors, the founder of the Tall Poppies, and I love all of your books, Anne Garvin.
Thank you. It's so nice to be here. Oh, it's so good to see you, not in person, but sort of in person.
As close as we get is how I say it.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And who is with you? Who's the puppy?
Oh my gosh, Peanut. It's Peanut. And he's not, look at him. He's got this very like, oh, I'm really contemplating important things, but really he's contemplating a nap. He's not the Peanut in the book, but in a, you know, really burst of zero imagination, I named the dog in the book Peanut. So, you know, like that was dumb. Can't help it.
One of the things I know I'm going to put in my own review, which I need to write, this book is so fun. And anyone who's an animal lover is going to adore this book because it's really all about saving a dog. Well, it's about friendship, but it's about saving a dog. They go across country to save the dog, which is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah, it's both a metaphor and also a real thing, right, in the book. You save the dog, you save the family, you save the life, you save everybody.
Before we start, where are you joining us from? Where are you today?
I am in Venice, California, because I'm working on my next book and I get so interrupted by gloomy weather and voices that I have to put myself into a two-room shack and write.
That's perfect. That's perfect. And I know you have so much wisdom to impart because you run teaching programs and everything in addition to being an awesome best-selling author. So I'm excited to ask some of your advice for other authors, having done this a number of times now. But let's start with the book, because I loved this book. I thought you said this would work. It's so funny. It's poignant. I love friendship books. I love your writing. I was kind of alternating between crying and laughing out loud, which I think is what you were going for. Yes. So tell me about the new one and maybe the inspiration, where the idea came from.
Well, you're my perfect reader, obviously, for sure. well, the inspiration for this one was that I just had dinner with two friends who weren't really friends unless they were with me. And I thought to myself, like, what if these two had to be forced on a trip together? And then the book just kind of came to me after that. So it was a lark to write because it was so funny. Think about two people who just like each other stuck in a tiny car, you know, like I love the idea.
Or even better in a VW van, which was one of my favorite parts. I'm a big bug fan. So that was one of my favorite parts of the book.
Yeah, I wish I had one.
I actually walk around San Miguel taking photos of the VW Beetles here, more the car ones, because we still have like thousands of them here in Mexico. They're still probably the most popular car here.
There's a ton here in California too, and they all look good, you know?
Yeah, so, they look beautiful. Yeah, especially with a surfboard on top. I love the California ones with the surfboard.
Yeah,
totally. There you go. Mm-hmm. So I got to ask you also about the animal sanctuary in this book, because I read some of your reviews and I noticed that a lot of people commented that they loved the animal sanctuary and that they want to go visit it. And this was like the best tourist commercial for this sanctuary, which apparently is a real place that now a bunch of people want to go visit because of you, apparently.
Yes, it's a real place. And I'm trying to think how I heard of it the first time. I think my friend got a job there and I was like, what is this heaven? And she was telling me about it. So then I went and I rented one of those cabins, which apparently are almost impossible to get, but I must have swooped in, you know, when somebody canceled, and I stayed there for 4 days and I really got myself immersed in it. Plus a lot of, you know, I told them that I was an author and they toured, you know, things. I got to see things that, you know, so it's loosely based on it, but I think that it's represented pretty closely to what it's like. It's just, it's canyons of animals, like not running free, like, which is how I thought of it when before I got there. I thought, are they just running free? They're not. They're very well organized and, you know, they're very safe and loved and things like that. But like, I didn't know it existed. I loved it. Like, I wanted to stay there forever. I was so good.
I love the idea that the dog in this book, which is the dog that the two friends who are kind of estranged set out to rescue. They go across the country to actually kind of almost steal the VW van, rescue the dog. Yeah. It's great. It's a great lark of a story, but I loved the idea that the dog needs insulin shots. Oh, and so like this dog is like, they're permanently unaware, like on alert not to let the dog's insulin get out of control, which just, it was another fabulous metaphor, and it added so much interest to the kind of escapade level of it. But it's also really touching, right? And there's some really, really sad moments in the book too. I think you do a lovely job as a writer of doing that thing where you can do both in the same book. I don't think a lot of people can do that in the same book that well.
Yeah, it's my thing. And thank God I have that thing, because otherwise I don't really have a thing. Like I feel like that's my thing. Thank God. And I sort of view life like that. Like I'm always like, but I was a nurse, and that was not such a good thing as a nurse, because you're like, that's kind of funny. And they're like, I'm dying. That's not funny.
Well, I love the fact that clearly your readers find that the same way. I was looking at your reviews of this book, and the phrases that show up the most: laugh out loud, engaging, entertaining, I laughed and cried, and I felt like the characters were personal friends. So there you go.
Those are the kinds of reviews that, like, that's exactly what I would want. If I could, you know, write my own, that's exactly how I would write it. It makes me so happy that people are getting that, you know, getting me, getting what I was trying to do. It's funny because there's a lot of really, like, there's some leaps in plot in there that you have to like go along for the ride on. And some people are like, hey, that wouldn't happen. And I'm like, I think maybe we can't hang out then, because
it's fiction. Like, what fiction doesn't have some leaps? Like, it's, you have to just go with it.
Yeah. And honestly, there's a lot of really weird leaps in life. I think that very little things go from A to B to C, right? Things go A to C, A to E, A to D. Like,
that's definitely my life. I was, just before we started, I was like gathering up all my things and rearranging my office because they're drilling, I don't know what they're doing, but they're excavating the wall of my office from the outside on the street right now. Literally, they're coming through the walls. Like, you can't make this stuff up.
No. And me, like, plot device? No, it would happen. Like, it's
that would never happen. Right. Well, let's take a quick peek at one review from Lauren Fox, who's the author of Send For Me. I thought this captured it really well. She said, a heartbreaking and hilarious story of how we rescue each other. It's a great, big, generous, warm-hearted page-turner about best friends and love and loss and forgiveness and dogs, told with absolute honesty and humor. You couldn't ask for more from a novel. I thought that just like, it made me realize I don't know how to write my own review yet, because that one is so, it captures the novel so well.
Well, and that came from Lauren Fox, who as a writer, she's so fantastic that I was scared to give it to her. And then when she wrote this lovely review, I was like, oh, that was so nice. It really made my day. It was really, really nice.
So talking of books, what do you like to read? Have you enjoyed anything good recently?
I have. Finley Donovan is killing it. And she, it's Elk, and I'm going to butcher the name, Concierleo or something. But anyway, you can find it with the name of the book. And it was so funny and so well written, and the plot was really good. And I, you know, it's hard to write a funny book, and she really wrote a funny book that I can recommend that one hands down.
That means a lot coming from you, because when I want to study how to get humor into my writing, you're the one who I go read your books. So that's a lot coming from you when you call something's funny. So talking of writing advice, what advice would you give? And if you want to share any of what you do for other writers, you're one of my idols in everything that you do to support other writers.
You know, that's so nice of you. And I've stepped back a little bit from teaching, except I teach at Drexel University now in their Masters of Fine Arts program. And I still do like conferences and things like that. I've stepped back a little bit from the fifth semester just because it's really time consuming. But, you know, there's a couple of things that I tell authors. And one is that, you know, don't love yourself too much. Like, don't love your writing too much. I'm not saying don't hate your writing. I'm not saying that, because that's a whole nother bag of fish, right? But don't love it so much that you can't really hear somebody telling you certain things, especially if certain people are saying certain things. And stay at it. Like, you know, it really takes time to write a good book. And I see very often, you know, people writing book after book after book, and I think, wow, I'm a slow writer, and boy, I suck at this. And then I have to think, well, you don't know how many books are in the drawers that they're revising. You don't know what else they're doing. You cannot you know, you write at your own pace and you just have to let yourself write at your own pace. I think that's another one. And the last one I would say is that people are always debating character or plot, plot or character. And I just think those are not the questions to ask. The questions that you need to ask are, you know, who is my character and what's interesting about the story that they're going to go through and what are we going to learn from it? Period. It's never an either or. Art isn't an either or. There's no guidebook. You just have to feel your way through it. And any story, this story could have been told 100 other ways. There's no right way. There's your most compelling way that you can write it. I want everybody to feel better about being a writer after they spend time with me, because I really think that that's the kind of thing that makes people successful, not giving them hard and fast rules.
That's great. That's a lot of advice together. And I need that advice right now for my second one, because it's interesting. My debut came out last year and I'm working on my second one, but many of those who had debut novels at the same time as me are bringing out their second book now. I'm only on my first revision of the first draft. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's very easy to compare and to say like, wow, they're so much more productive and so much faster than me. But to your point, it's never that simple, right? Some of these books were written long ago and they were revised, and you know, even being on deadline is not easy, right? Like I see some of these writers were on deadline for book two while book one was coming out, which added a level of stress that was insane.
Well, and that's so, what's happening to me right now. I'm writing, it was supposed to be due. I asked for an extension because it was supposed to be due on the 23rd and I thought I'm not going to make it. I was waking up with like neck pain.
Why do publishers do that? Why do they make the delivery date for the next book the same as the launch for the current book? Like it always seems to be right around the same time.
Yeah, I think it takes about a year to get in the, I think they slot you in and they want you in a certain space and then they, but I don't really know, because I think they want you to come right off the heels of your buzzy book to the next book right away. Like I understand it as a strategy, but I don't really write like that. It takes a long time for me to think of something funny. I'm not like, funny comes out, but like maybe not in a time appropriate. Like if I'm in the middle of the night or I talk to somebody, I used three jokes that day on a tweet. Now I don't have anything left for my writing. So like, I just think it's hard to, you know, it's a lot of brain work and it takes me a while to kind of move it forward. I'm in awe of people who write faster, but I'm not one of those people, I don't think.
I interviewed Bettley Crosby just recently, and she was talking about how she's not that productive compared to other writers because she only writes two books a year, and I almost fell off my chair. So
that literally gives me chest pain hearing that sentence. Like chest pain.
Yeah, it's so funny though, but isn't it funny that at the same time that she was saying that, she was self-comparing to other writers who she considers more productive. Which is like a perfect example of how self-comparison does us zero favors and doesn't help us at all.
No, and I would say the other thing is that, you know, you extinguish a fire by taking the oxygen out of it. So you can extinguish an author the same way by just putting a clamp on it. It shuts. It's, you need to be out in the world breathing and seeing people and you know, revitalizing yourself. You can't just sit there and write all the time and expect to have fresh, at least in my mind, I think you can't.
That's great advice. I totally believe that. I very much believe like the best way to come up with material is to get out and enjoy life and actually live life. Yeah.
Yep. And so, I don't really want my life to be just at a keyboard. I really can't do that. Like, not, I can't even be funny. I used up all my seven jokes. I need to get out more jokes, you know?
So before we wrap up and show people how they can connect with you, anything I haven't asked that you wanted to make sure to talk about?
No.
Okay, we're good.
Like I could talk to you, obviously, you and I could talk for 7 days on a sleepover. So yes. I don't think so. I think maybe what I would say is, I don't know, just enjoy it. Like if you get a chance to read it, just enjoy it. And I hope people do take the moment to read it. But there are so many good books out there. I wouldn't know how to say that mine is better than somebody else's coming out. So if you stumble on it and you read it, I hope you like it.
Oh, you're way too modest. This book is doing so well, as have your others. And I'm going to encourage folks, it's been on Amazon First Reads all month this month of April. It's doing phenomenally well. Go check out the reviews. Go read the book. I'll tell you, it's so fabulous. You won't regret it. And let's look at how you can connect with Anne, who she mentioned earlier that she is really funny. Like if you want your day uplifted, go follow her social media, go join her newsletter. It's a really good way. Like your stuff is, I always feel like happy when I read your stuff. Like I'm like, oh, you hit on something there and it makes me laugh. So
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, I'm going to have a podcast.
Oh, okay. Let's talk about how people can connect with you and find out more. So on Instagram, you're at Ann Garvin, ANNGARVIN underscore. And then your website is anngarvin.net. And tell me about the podcast. Tell me more.
It's going to be called 5 Minutes with Ann. And my idea of it is like, if you know that, so everybody asks me a million questions because I was a professor so many years, writing and health and all that. And I always say, this is a podcast for people who want an answer when they know there isn't one right answer, but they want one anyway. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to answer questions for 5 minutes on a topic for 5 minutes every single time. And eventually I'll get it to the place where I have an email where people can submit questions and things like that. And I'll try to answer them. It's going to be about health and writing, but.
And you know. So if people want to find it, it sounds like it's not quite out there yet. Should they go to your website? Should they join your newsletter? What's the best way to find out when it's coming?
Probably join my newsletter, but Instagram, Twitter, it's all going to be everywhere. So anybody, you know, they can do it that way.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to spend time with me today.
That's too short, but it was really fun. Thank you so much for having me.
If you enjoy this podcast, then let me recommend another one I'm sure you'll appreciate. In the Thoughts from a Page podcast, Cindy Burnett, who's an avid reader and literature lover, interviews authors and publishing industry insiders about the latest and greatest books and trends. I especially love her focus on raising up the visibility of debut authors. Find that podcast and all the links, including Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and several other platforms at www.thoughtsfromapage.com. If you'd like to see the video version of this interview and many others, visit bestofwomensfiction.com or follow me, Lainey Cameron, on Instagram, where I share these interviews weekly. You can also subscribe right here to the podcast.